Senate please come to order with the members vote to signify their presence.
The roll shows 14 senators present this morning. Senators Bradley, Coletta, Kelly, Ray, and Sackett are excused from the call of Senate.
We stand in prayer. Reverend James Pat.
O God of all peoples, we beseech thee to bring that day nearer when the people of this state shall be truly one, when every barrier shall be broken down, when no person shall work only for his own selfish good, when no person shall defraud or oppress his neighbor, when no one shall reckon his neighbor worse than himself, when none shall be despised or outcast, but when all shall be free to work in equal humanity for thee and for their country. O Divine Father, may the words spoken by those present, the deliberations of this Senate, be of such nature to bring that day nearer. In the name of Christ.
Chief Clerk, please certify the correctness of the adjournment.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 45th legislative day and Senate Supplement Number 15.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent for Senate Journal for the 45th day and Senate Supplement Number 15 be approved and certified.
Objection to order. To the guests for introduction. Senator Lyon.
Mr. President, I have two guests here from Sitka. They're here to for the ball tournament coming up this weekend, where they're going to root as myself for the second-ranked statewide team of basketball team from Sitka. They're Joyce Havig, and with Joyce is her husband, Neelan, who is a former superintendent of schools in Sitka, and presently he's a fisherman.
Are there any messages from the... apologies. Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have numerous guests today. From Fairbanks, I'd like to introduce a longtime friend, Candace Magnuson. And also visiting from Fairbanks, the University of Alaska, we have four students: Joe Kukley, the AUSA Legislative Coordinator; Jason Keene, AUSA President; Dan Cole, Legislative Councilman; and Eugene Terrio, the Councilman.
Yes, Senator.
Mr. President, I see in the gallery behind me a friend of Dave Arkson, and I've been working on legislation later on in Alaska with former Representative Ben Swanson.
Are there any messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. President.
Any messages from the House?
There are no messages from the House.
Are there communications?
The Secretary's office is in receipt of a report entitled A Follow-Up Review of the Board of Welding Examiners, originally released June 8, 1979, and approved for public release November 24, 1980, from Gerald L. Wilkerson, Legislative Auditor, Division of Legislative Audit.
I'll sign that report to the Labor and Commerce Committee.
That is...
We'll be at ease, Senator. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I'd like to take a look at the Board of Welding Examiners question. As you know, Mr. President, because you dealt with this issue a number of years ago, the Board of Welding Examiners is the one agency we have that actually engages in Alaska hire practices that are constitutional and are legally permissible. I'm concerned that we not jeopardize that agency by saying that it does provide the only employment in Alaska in a very proper and correct manner. Therefore, I'd like to take a look at the judiciary of what
Senator, would you keep communication with the chairman of the other committee to see what you're going on that?
Yes, President.
Because the interest of both committees and to all of us. The further communication.
That is the only communication.
A report to standing committees.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill 137 approving issuance of revenue bonds by the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority and recommends do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring, Senator Stimson, Ferguson, Eliason, Strzelczuk, and Dankworth. SB 137 has no further referral.
To the Rules Committee.
The Finance Committee considered Senate Bill number 139, making a special appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services for two positions at Fairbanks Northern Regional Laboratory, and a majority of the committee recommend do pass. Signed, Senator Bennett, co-chairman, concurring, Senator Stimson, Eliason, and Strzelczuk. Senators Ferguson and Dankworth signed no recommendation. SB 139 has no further referral.
Rules.
State Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill number 174, making a supplemental appropriation to the Alaska Power Authority, and recommends that it be replaced with the committee substitute with a new title and do pass. Signed, Senator Fisher, chairman, concurring, Senators Eliason, Coletta, Stimson, and Bradley. SB 174 has a further referral to finance. The Finance Committee sent the following memorandum in accordance with AS 3905080 on the governor's appointees to the University of Alaska Board of Regents, Don Abel and Ed Rasmussen. There were no stated objections to confirmation of the above-named individuals by committee members. It is the general opinion of the committees that both men are qualified. Signed, Senators Dankworth, co-chairman of Finance, Senator Bennett, Senator Parr, chairman of Hess, and Senators Eliason, Ferguson, Sackett, Stimson, Strzelczuk, Stimson, Fisher, Coletta, and Kelly. That is the standing committee reports today, Mr. President.
Are there any reports of special committee?
There are no special committee reports.
Are there any resolutions for introduction?
Senate Joint Resolution number 18 by Senator Homan, requesting the President to direct the creation of a utility corridor for the extension of the Alaska Railroad to the Canadian border.
State Affairs.
That is the only resolution.
Are there any bills for first reading and reference?
Senate Bill number 217 by Senator Fisher, an act relating to parole of offenders, continuing the existence of the Board of Parole and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Judiciary. I don't think there are financial implications.
Senate Bill number 218 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to the use of waste heat produced by certain pipeline facilities and providing for an effective date.
Resources.
Senate Bill number 219 by Senator Homan, by request, an act relating to surface transportation projects, exempting those projects from certain state permit requirements, amending and repealing laws relating to roads on state land, and authorizing construction of certain transportation projects and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and finance.
Senate Bill number 220 by Senator Homan, by request, an act making special appropriations to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for surface transportation projects and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and Finance.
Senate Bill number 221 by Senator Homan, by request, an act creating the Alaska Railroad Authority and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and Finance.
Senate Bill number 222 by Senators Sackett, Fahrenkamp, Parr, and Bennett, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for engineering and design of three bridges in the Nanana Agricultural Area and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and Finance.
Those are the bills today, Mr. President.
Takes us down to the daily calendar. On the calendar, we have citations.
Mr. President.
On the floor.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be held over until tomorrow.
Without objection.
I'm sorry, until Monday. We have a number of people that are out of town, specifically the Rules Committee Chairman, who was the chairman, co-chairman of President Reagan's campaign here in Alaska. I'm sure we're going to go to the citation calendar. Mm-hmm. There are a number of other members who have also requested that they be allowed to go.
See no
opposition from the author or others, without objection, to hold it over until Monday's calendar. Is there any unfinished business at this time? Senator Holman.
Mr. President, there has been distributed to the membership this report on the proposed extension of the Alaska Railroad to the Canadian border from Eielson Air Force Base. That's a short form of a fancier report. Construction of a railroad is the very first consideration necessary for the transportation of goods and services into a frontier area for the transportation of its resources to the market. In 1914, when the Alaska Railroad was started, the territory of Alaska had a population of about 50,000, which included settlements in southeastern Juneau, Sitka, Valdez, Seward, Nome, and Fairbanks. And Anchorage was a tent city. Today, Anchorage has a population of around 200,000, and about 75% of the people in the state live along the rail belt. All major military bases, with the exception of Fort Greely, are on the railroad. All the existing agricultural area of the state, except Delta, are served by the railroad, as is the 300,000 acres to be developed near Nenana. The Yucabeli coal mine at Centrana and the coal mines at Healy would not exist today if it were not for the railroad. With the settlement of the Alaska Native Land Claims Act, the Alaska Native people will have about 44 million acres, in addition to the state's over 100 million acres, which were provided under the Statehood Act of 59. This means the availability of immense new potential for natural resource extraction and the development of renewable resources. Favorable consideration by the Alaska legislature in negotiations with the federal government could result in the early transfer of the ownership of the Alaska Railroad to the state. There appears to be several advantages to the state through the early acquisition of the railroad. Some of those are: if Alaska's private sector economy is to grow into self-sufficiency, it will be largely through the extraction and processing of its natural resources and the development of its renewable resources. Neither of these objectives can be accomplished in world competition without an efficient economical transportation system. This will necessitate completion of a macro transcontinental railroad connection. Deficits, if any, in the early years could be recognized as justified by the offsetting overall benefits to the statewide economy, as is recognized in the annual deficits of the Alaska State Marine Highway System. State planning for the extension of the railroad could be expedited if the state owned the railroad. The United States government may be willing to transfer the railroad to Alaska if the state assumes the $8 million annual deficit, which represents the combined congressional appropriation and net loss figures averaged over the last 5 years. Alaska can now afford to absorb this railroad deficit. Acquisition of the railroad would occur at a time when the revenues could substantially be increased through increased export of Alaskan's natural resources, such as coal and mineral ores, particularly made possible through the extension of the railroad, and particularly due to the increased demand through the world for these resources. Ownership of the railroad would allow the state to proceed with the concurrent development of deep water coal and grain storage and loading facilities for the export of these products, especially in the Pacific Rim nations. As a result of this expansion of usage, the railroad should reverse its deficit earnings. Purchase of the railroad is only one method which the state has at its disposal to assist in the development of these exports. Additional financial assistance in the development of industry will help assure the positive earnings of the railroad. the state could improve and should improve, expand the passenger service, which it now partially subsidizes. This improvement would benefit our tourism industry. In 79, the Alaska Railroad carried 151,000 passengers, a figure exceeded only by the railroad in 1953. Should the state acquire the Alaska Railroad at the proprietary interest figure of $147,442,000, it may be also possible to include in this figure the 38,000 acres of land that has been withdrawn from the public domain at no cost to the railroad. This land is not included in the financial records of the railroad. The Alaska Railroad Enabling Act of 1914 authorized the president to build railroads within the territory of Alaska, not to exceed 1,000 miles. The present Alaska Railroad has 478 miles of main track and another 175 miles of branch lines, sidings, spurs, and yard track. The Alaska section of this proposed Continental Railroad link would be approximately 269 miles and would cost an estimated $538 million to build, and it could be completed in 5 years. If the state of Alaska, through the powers provided in the Railroad Enabling Act of 1914, can accomplish an adequate right-of-way utility transportation corridor of sufficient width to accommodate the railroad pipelines, electrical transmission lines, and maintenance roadways, it would be of tremendous value to the state, to Canada, and to the lower 48 states. Alaska's freight potential alone is projected at over 6 million tons per year on a sustaining basis. Nearly all facets of the engineering and economic considerations for such a project are available to support a decision to proceed at this time. There were some pieces of legislation that were introduced this morning that other members of this body might wish to co-sponsor. I would welcome their support.
Mr. President, if we're under unfinished business, and I assume we are, this certainly is unfinished business, and I'd like to comment on it very briefly. Today is Nanana's Day for sure. You all received, I assume, in the mail this morning, an invitation from the Nanana Tachikek good folk who are coming down here next Wednesday to attend a cocktail party at the Baranoff Hotel. And in attendance will be at the reception legislators, staff, key state officials, and other interested citizens. Then it goes on to say that this little dandy is going to be held in room 909 of the Baranoff between 5 and 7. I suspect they meant the Gaston our suite, although it is true that Paul and I would love to see each of you individually on a drop-in basis for a toddy or a chat, but 909 is verboten. Pay no attention.
Are there items under special orders? Is there an announcement of the committee meeting? You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, Community and Regional Affairs will be taking up Senate Bill 168, which is a special municipal aid program, 3 o'clock, first floor of the Barron's Building.
Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. President. May we return for a moment to introduction of guests?
Without objection, first introduction.
Also down from Fairbanks, we have Mike Michaels, who's down in city business, I believe. Thank you.
Stimson.
Mr. President, the Finance Subcommittee on the Development Budget will be going over the tourism budget today at 11 o'clock in the Senate Finance Room.
The floor, Senator Fitch.
Mr. President, State Affairs will not meet today.
Senator Ferguson. Announcements, Senator Rohde.
Yes,
Mr. President, several announcements. First, Professor Bill Daniels from Harvard is in town to give the next presentation before the Finance Committee. If any members are interested in meeting with Professor Daniels today, they can contact my office. Perhaps I'll set that up. Secondly, the Seafood Marketing Institute will host a reception for the legislature tonight, 5 o'clock in the Baranoff Room. Mr. President, also, notice to the members that the Senate will convene at 1:30 Monday as a as well as 1:30 tomorrow as a convenience to those members who are out of town because of the Pope's visit and other matters. There are a number who will be out of town, and this will allow them to be here for the session Monday. Mr. President, if there is no further business to come before us, I would move it as unanimous consent to begin as adjournment until 1:30 tomorrow afternoon.
We're adjourned.